they have laid. I pray that they would build on that foundation. Please bless Pastor Shelley as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to go back to verse 13. And the Bible says, "Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." And so in Jesus Christ's ministry, he had little children coming unto him, and the disciples didn't want Jesus to be burdened with little children or have to deal with little children. And so they're trying to tell the children to get away from the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here. But Jesus Christ said to suffer little children. And notice again, he didn't say that they're not a burden. He didn't say that it's not some level of discomfort. He literally says to suffer. And that means to allow, of course. But in a sense, we can also think of this as being something that obviously little children are a little bit of work. Obviously little children can be a little bit of an inconvenience. But Jesus Christ is willing to suffer the little children. And I think a church like ours, it's important that we have this doctrine and that we have this idea, because we're a family integrated church. And so we have the children in the service with us. Whereas most churches today, they put all of their children either in the nursery, in some kind of a Sunday school class, youth kids programs, and they really just separate all of us within the building. Whereas our church, we specifically try to keep everyone together as much as possible. Of course, we have mother baby rooms and other options and stuff like that, cry rooms. But we do also try to encourage for people to have their children in the service. And so I want to preach about the idea of suffering little children. Now, that being said, I think that there are some tips that we can have to help encourage us to have more successful outcomes as far as kids being in the service. And so I just want to give you, I basically have 7 points I want to make. I'm going to go through them pretty quickly, but I just want to give some tips of how I think that we can encourage the youth to do better in the service. And this is my idea, is that I also will bear your burden a little bit, okay, this evening, because you have to bear the burden of suffering with your children. But what I want to do is I want to have some volunteers sit up here with me during this. Now, wait a second, okay? You have to listen to what you have to do. I'm going to take 10 volunteers at a time, okay? You can come sit on this. You're going to sit on the stage, but you have to be perfectly still. You have to be perfectly quiet, and you have to pay attention. If you can get through 2 points that I make, you can get some candy afterwards, all right? If you're not still, if you're not paying attention, then I'm going to just send you back to your seat. Okay? So you kids know what I'm saying, all right? So I'm going to put some candy up here, and I'm going to get 10 helpers for a moment, but you have to be sitting on the stage, you have to be sitting still, and you have to be quiet. Now, of course, you can bring your Bible and pay attention while we're going through the points, but you have to sit there for 2 points. So I'm going to look at this section first. Do I have 10 volunteers? Who, raise your hand. All right, come on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Just sit down here on the stage. Yep, come on down. You want to sit? Do you want to? Okay, you can sit down. Come on down. 9. Do I have one more over here? Come on down. All right. So let's see if you can make it through 2 points for me, okay? All right, here's my point 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Go to Ephesians chapter number 6. My first tip in encouraging children to do well in a service and to suffer them in a service is for them to have a Bible. Give them a Bible to have while they're in the service. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, it says in verse number 12, well, let's do verse 11, actually. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, what's interesting about the armor of God is it's it's mostly all just metaphors. I mean, we're talking about a belt that's not a real belt. It's simply talking about having integrity, truth, being honest. We have the breastplate of righteousness, the idea of having good Christian moral character and following God's commandments. We have the helmet of salvation, which is an example of us being saved. We have the shield of faith to quench all those fiery darts of the wicked. You know, the devil is going to throw really fiery darts at us, and the only thing that can get through us is faith, not by our sight. But then he has one other thing, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so when we come to church, we need to have all those attributes, characteristics with us, but we should also have the sword with us. And this is our only real offensive weapon as described in the armor of God. This is what we use to wage war. This is what we do to claim victory. The rest of those things are a defense. This is offense, is the Word of God, is a Bible. And we should train our youth to have this as their weapon and to use it. And I think it will help just practically speaking, because when you have a Bible, you know, hey, I need to use this. I need to look at it. It's going to help me pay attention. When you don't really have anything in your hand, you're not really doing anything, it's easier to be distracted. It's easier to maybe not pay attention. And so I would encourage you, parents, you know, if you want to have a more successful outcome in church, is to give your kids a Bible. So now we're through point one. You guys did good, all right? So you just got to do one more point. You think you can do it with me? All right, I feel like y'all are doing really good, okay? Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. It's important to have a Bible. And why is it important to have a Bible? Well, this next point kind of flows into the previous point that I made. I want to look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." So the Bible tells us that we should make sure that people are paying attention, and specifically to the reading. You know, not only should your child have a Bible in church, but you should try to encourage them to actually open it to the places and actually read the passages as we're going through the service. That's giving attendance unto reading. Me as the pastor, I'm supposed to encourage you to give attendance unto reading. And you as the parents, you should be giving attendance unto reading to your children. You should make sure that they're paying attention, they're looking at their Bible, they're going into the places of Scripture, you're helping them to find things. You know, of course, when we do these sword drills, it's not always equal. Some are a little bit better than others, but you know, the more you're showing your kids where places are in the Bible, you're showing them things in the Word of God, you're just going to basically help them to become better with that sword. I guarantee people in this room, if you actually were going to give a sword to your child, you probably would give them some instruction. You'd probably show them how to use it. You probably wouldn't just want to just hand them a sword and just say, have fun. And in the same case, you know, handing a child a book like this, it probably doesn't make sense that you don't sit down with them, show them, help them. And, you know, I think even just at home, showing them the Bible and encouraging them to read it is going to be a really good tip. It's going to really help them to do a really good job. All right, you guys did really good. You can take a candy and you can go sit back down. I'll just set it right here. You can just come by and get it. I need a new 10 volunteers from this section right here, all right? 1, 2, 3. Come on down when I get you, when I call you. 3, 4, 5, 6. Come on, John. 7. All right, 8, 9. Yep. Urbanic. Morgan, you want to come on down? All right. Right here. Yep, come on. Really, all you have to do is bribe them with candy. That's, you know, I'm just trying to help you, okay? But all right, so y'all are gonna pay attention and be still, right? Okay. I'm trusting you guys over there. All right, let's go to Psalm 150. I want to go to another place in the Bible. So point one was, I think we should encourage our kids to have a Bible. Number two is I think that we should also encourage our kids to make sure that they're trying to follow along in the sermon and reading the passages when they can. Of course, that's going to depend. You know, if you got a teenager over there, they can read it, okay? You probably should give them the elbow or give them whatever you need to give them, all right? Make sure that they're paying attention. And sometimes we need a little nod. Sometimes we need a little nudge. Now, some of you dads out there, y'all just take a nap during the service, and so it doesn't really help. So if you'd actually, you know, stay awake, you might could nudge your kids every once in a while when they need a little bit of love, right? Psalm 150, look at verse number 6. The last verse in the entire book of Psalms. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We need to make sure that we're encouraging our children to sing. And look, I think our church is really good on this. But I think we should also try to make sure that we're encouraging our kids to sing. We open the hymnal. We show them the words. And of course, you know, as they graduate, get older, they can notice more. Try and encourage them to be able to sing the songs and sing aloud and sing with us. And, you know, that'll get a little bit of that energy out. You know, you're nervous about all this energy that they have bundled up. But, you know, get them to sing the sounds, sing the song, sing loud, get a little bit of that energy out so then they can calm down later and pay attention to the sermon. I think that that's going to help them. I want to go to another verse, go to Proverbs chapter 22. So we're pretty close, Proverbs chapter 22. So point one, have a Bible. Point two, read and pay attention. Point three is sing the songs. Point four is that all the things that I'm pointing out can be taught at home. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, I think it's really important that we train our children. And this is a broad text that covers a bunch of different things. But think about it. If you're taking your kid to church regularly, you're getting a Bible in their hand, you're showing them where to turn in the Bible, you're getting to sing the Psalms and the hymns, generally speaking, they're going to probably stick with that. Obviously, there's always exceptions to this. But you know, when you train your kid to treat church with respect, and they have the Bible, and they're reading their Bible, and they know their Bible, you know, I believe that's going to stick with them. I've been in church my whole life, but I think it's also because I've been in church my whole life. My parents always took me to church. They always encouraged me to read the Bible. They always encouraged me to do these things. And so for me, growing up, going to church was not really an option mentally. It was just where, right? I wasn't so much like, should I go to church? It was more like, where should I go to church was really the question in my mind, because I've always gone to church. And you know, it's like, if you always eat chili without beans, it's not a question of if I put beans in it. It's just, you know, when you have chili, you're not gonna put beans in it, right? I mean, so it's just like, when you start training your child in a certain way, you know, once you teach them how to make Texas brisket, they're not gonna make Oklahoma brisket, okay? They're not gonna make North Carolina brisket, okay? They're not gonna make all these other things. You know, once they've had Tex-Mex, they're not making the authentic, okay? And you're like, what's the difference between Tex-Mex and authentic Mexican food? I'll explain it to you. Cheese. Like, I mean, that's basically the difference. It's like basically Tex-Mex, they actually put cheese on it, and it's just like, wow, this is a good idea. Like, this actually, or they put a little extra spices or something on it, right? But you know what? I love Tex-Mex. Now, I'm not against Mexican food. It's just Tex-Mex a little better. And then once you train up them in this way, they're not going to depart from it. They're like, I love Texas brisket. I love Tex-Mex. I love chili without beans, right? Once you train them to use the King James Bible, they're not going to the NIV.
Right, good.
Hey, once you train them to be in a fundamental Baptist church, they're not going to go to Joel Osteen. You know, obviously there could be an exception, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, the kids that are going to keep serving God are going to go to a church kind of like this. They're going to go to a church that actually cares about the Bible, it's fundamental. And so it's important that we teach and train our kids the things that are necessary. And you know what? At home, you can teach them to be still, to be quiet, to listen. And it shouldn't be that you never trained this. This should be something that's happening. You know, especially if you're homeschooling, in public school, they're taught to sit still and to be quiet during class, and they get in trouble if they don't. And, you know, I think that there should be some of that at home as well. There should be times where they're sitting still, being quiet. You know, we try to do family Bible time at home. My wife has them sit down, sometimes just watch a sermon, watch a show, or watch something. Sometimes they have to sit and read books quietly for a little while. But they should have some time where they're learning some of these same skills at home, and that will help you. You know, it's frustrating to go to a restaurant and your kids are terrible. It's nice when they can just sit quietly And especially when you have a lot. I mean, I'm racking them up. I already got six, okay? And, you know, it's nice to still be able to go to a restaurant and talk with my wife and not just constantly be like, Johnny did this, Johnny did that, Johnny spilled this, Johnny. And so, you know, the more and more you train them, the more and more you spend time with them, the better your life's going to be, okay? The more enjoyable you're going to have with them. And I think that's going to help us even in church. If you guys are doing some training at home, if you guys are trying to encourage your kids to behave well in home, then we're going to have a better church service in general, right? All right, kids, you did really good. You can come get a piece of candy and you can sit down, all right? Look at this. All I have to do is bribe them with a Snickers, okay? It's not even a full Snickers, all right? They don't even know the difference. Now, I need another 10. I didn't get everybody over here. All right, come on down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Come on, Gideon. Come on, Morgan. I think that's 10. Yeah. All right, you got to remember the rules, though, right? You got to sit still, be quiet, pay attention. If you got your Bible, make sure you're turning where you're going. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13 now. Go to Proverbs chapter number 13. So if we're going to suffer the little children, we want to make sure that we're also encouraging them and getting the best out of them. Now, here's the thing. In a church like ours, we should be realistic. It's never going to be as quiet as dropping a pin and hearing it drop, okay? You're never going to have it be perfect. Kids sometimes make disruptions in the service. And, you know, my general philosophy is that as long as the parents are trying to fix or correct that situation right away, then I'm going to go ahead and, hey, no, just pick one. Go. Thank you. As long as the parents are fixing the situation, I'm not going to necessarily say something, but if a kid were making a disturbance and it wasn't really changing it and everybody's paying attention, then I might have to kindly just ask them to, hey, will you do you mind just please stepping out? I'm not mad at the person. I don't even care, but it's just if everybody's paying attention to that, then I kind of have to, as the preacher, just make note of it so we can all focus back on the Bible. So again, I've almost never done that. It's pretty rare, but if I have to, I will. But at the end of the day, the better we do as parents and the better as we do as Christians with our children, the less we even have to worry about that. And you know, it's if we were to go to almost any other church and they brought all of their kids in the sanctuary, do you know, it would be like a quiet roar, okay? It would be probably kind of a train wreck. And so, you know, we kind of have to also realize that we're already doing really well. And so I don't want you to feel, don't be discouraged that your kids aren't perfect in our services, because frankly speaking, we're already so separated from what most people are like that you should give yourself a little bit of a break. In fact, it's like me and my wife are constantly like nervous about our kids' behavior, but then the world is just always like, man, they're so well behaved, and we're kind of thinking like, whatever, you know, like they're getting it when they get home. You know, it's like, but just to them, it's just like so much different. And again, I'm not saying let's lower expectations, but I'm also saying, you know, give your kids a little bit of a break. Realize they're not perfect. We want to make sure we give them some grace. But at the same time, when necessary, they also need that correction. They also need to get it from home. What does the Bible say in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24? He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. If you want your children to behave well in church, you must discipline them physically. I mean, and the Bible even says if you don't even love your child. The Bible doesn't say that if you refrain from physical discipline, you love your child. It says that you hate them. Physical discipline is actually a sign of love. And according to the Bible, you cannot love your son without physically disciplining him. And of course, you know, when it comes to children's discipline, of course, boys and girls may be a little bit different. Of course, as their ages go, it may evolve, obviously. And so that's something that's to everyone's own discretion. But the reality is, the Bible is emphasizing the importance of physical discipline. Go, if you would, to Proverbs 22. Let's look at another place. And if we were to just look in the world today, our world is filled with a bunch of brats, okay? BLM, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, liberals, leftists, feminists, all these weirdos. And you know what? They didn't get what this verse is about to tell us. They didn't get what they needed according to this verse. What does it say in Proverbs 22, verse 15? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So according to the Bible, every child is born as someone that has a lot of foolishness. And the only thing that'll drive it from them is the rod of correction. And so, unfortunately, we have a society filled with fools because they never had the foolishness driven away from them by loving parents who are willing to discipline their children. And you know, this world does not like that doctrine at all. In fact, the vast majority of America would say that any physical discipline is abuse, and that's just ridiculous. And you know, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible has pretty much a complete different response to that particular situation. And you know, don't shy away from physical discipline because of what the world may say or what you think. Do whatever the Bible says, because the Bible is always right. And the Word of God, we have to quench the fiery darts of the wicked with the shield of faith. And you know what? The faith is trusting what the Bible says and believing. And the Bible always gives you the best outcome, period. We never know what will happen. You know, the Bible says, chasten thy son while there's hope. It doesn't say there's a guarantee. There's only hope. But at the end of the day, if you want the best potential outcome for your child, we need to exercise physical discipline. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. So you guys did good. That was a long point, all right? Y'all are still doing strong, all right? So point one, have a Bible. Point two, read the Bible, pay attention. Point three, sing the songs. Point four, train at home. Point five, we need to use the rod. Point six, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I want to look at our verse. You know what? Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So a lot of ways we could apply this verse. This is the way I want to apply this, is that if you want your children to be well-behaved in church, you need to be steadfast. And what does that mean? You need to be regularly attending without missing. And you know, I'm preaching the choir, it's Sunday night. But you know what? The children that come Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night are usually going to be the best behaved. And they're consistent. They're always in church. They're not missing. They get that regular routine, that regular practice. They know what to expect. Whereas children that come maybe once a month, come every once in a while, just come sparingly, they're usually not as practiced. They're not as disciplined in that area. And so they're not going to be as well behaved. And if we want to have a great church with great children that we can model to the world, well, you know what? We need to be steadfast. And that is going to help us with our children and suffering the little children. Go, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Not only does that extend to just simply going to church, but just being a good Christian. The better you are as a Christian and the better you model your faith, the more that your children can follow in your footsteps. Of course, We could basically just let the Bible fall open and recognize that even the greatest men in the Bible, not all of their children turned out well. But at the end of the day, when we look at the admonitions in the Bible, we see that many people did follow in their parents' footsteps. And one of the coolest stories in the Bible is, I think, 2 Timothy chapter 1, because it's not even someone following in the footsteps of their father. It's actually someone following in the footsteps of their mother and their grandmother. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse number 4. Paul says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So Timothy is commended for his unfeigned faith. And additionally, how he noticed that was in your mother and it was in your grandmother. And we can see a lineage of faith being passed down from one generation to the next and then to the next. Now, what's crazy is the men aren't even mentioned. And, you know, I think that some people just don't realize that, unfortunately, not every married couple is always equally yoked. Sometimes the husband's really spiritual and the wife's not very spiritual. Sometimes the wife's really spiritual and the husband's not very spiritual. But you know what? You as a parent, even if you're a little bit more zealous, try your best to pass that on to your children. And of course, them to pass it on. And notice it went from the grandmother to the mother all the way unto the young child. And you know what? We need to encourage our children to follow in our footsteps as best as we can. And you children, you should look to the zeal of your parents to follow in their footsteps. Because this is a very important thing. And if we want to suffer the little children, we want it to, you know, have the best outcome that it can. All right, you guys did good. You can get a piece of candy. I've got one more point. So anybody that didn't get to and wants to come sit down, come on down. I think it's this section and anybody else. Good job. You kids are great. I don't know what your parents have been saying. Y'all are really well behaved. All right, we got one more point, okay? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 21. Go to Proverbs chapter 21. So I think if we want to encourage our children to do really well in service, number one, we should make sure they have a Bible. Number two, we should help encourage them to pay attention by reading it. Number three, we should encourage them to sing the songs. Number four, we should be training them at home to be behaved and sit still. Number five, we should be using the rod when they do have a problem, when they're not obeying, and that should be regularly. It's not just at church. It should be on a regular occurrence. And, you know, I don't know what the occurrence is because it just depends on the child. You know, sometimes there's kids in my house that it just goes consecutive days or they're getting physically disciplined. I mean, it's just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then sometimes there's many days in a row where they go where they haven't been physically disciplined. It just kind of depends on them. It just kind of depends on their behavior and how well they're doing. So there's going to be times when it's hard, sometimes when it's easy, and everything in between. And all the different kids are different. Their ages are different. But, of course, we want to make sure that we discipline them when they need it. Because otherwise, you just don't love your children. I mean, the Bible's really clear on that particular issue. And I want to show you one more point here. I said also be steadfast, but I want to show you one more idea. Is to not only do everything I said, but sometimes you need to just reward them. And I'm proving that point, right? Am I not proving that? Hey, as long as I give them a little reward, look how good they are. And you know, sometimes we just need to encourage our kids to do right and they get money. I remember I was 5 years old. I'm saying money because that's what my dad did, all right? All right, here's the thing. I was 5 years old and my sister was getting married. And so I was supposed to be the ring bearer. And apparently they hadn't thought of this genius concept of letting the ring bearer just sit down during the wedding. So I was going to have to stand up there. So I have to stand up there for like a 20 or 30 minute service or whatever. You know, my weddings are shorter, okay? You're welcome. But I have to stand up there. And my dad said he'd give me $20 if I could just stand through the entire wedding and be still and not cause any kind of disruption. And I'll just be honest. I was kind of a wild kid, okay? So I was probably one of the hardest kids, especially at that age. In fact, in school, I was so rowdy that basically my mom, I've told the story before, but my mom made a deal with me that if I didn't get in trouble at school, she would buy me a Happy Meal. And you would think that she'd go into the poorhouse, but this almost never happened, okay? So like, there was like a green light, a yellow light, and a red light, and if you got in trouble at all, you went to yellow, and then if you got in trouble again, you went to red. I lived in yellow, okay? And many times went to red. It was like, it was a rare exception that I went to green. And, you know, but if I did, you know, I got a Happy Meal for that day. And so I was kind of like that. But my dad said, hey, I know how to fix a situation, and this situation is important, you know. So he gave me a word. Now, I'm not saying you have to give your kids $20 to come to church, okay? I'm not saying that, all right? And I'm not even saying you have to give them candy. What I am saying is that sometimes we should not only use a punishment to enforce behavior, sometimes we should use a reward as well. And sometimes that can also encourage them to do the right thing. And you know, frankly speaking, that's how God is to us, right? God punishes us for disobeying, but he also rewards us when we do obey. And so he kind of gives us both. And I think that's an important balance that we want to have. Proverbs chapter 21, look at verse 14. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom, strong wrath. Notice when someone's upset, a reward can actually change that. A gift could actually fix those things. It could actually appease some kind of strife. Go back, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 3. Go backwards to Proverbs chapter number 3. And I want to look at another verse here. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Notice the Bible is saying, hey, when you have the opportunity to do good, when you have something that you could do to bless someone, hey, and you have the power, don't withhold good, give them the reward, right? And this doesn't just limit ourselves to children. This could be in any capacity. Reward your wife. Men, whenever she's doing a good job, take her on a shopping spree. I would get a lot of amens if we had ladies amen, okay, right now. Take her on a trip. You know, go out, go do something fun that she likes to do. If she's been doing a really good job, doing a lot with the kids. You know, I mean, especially these homeschool moms, hey, once they've gone through a semester, maybe reward them in some way or maybe help them. You know, I sometimes will help my wife just make dinner, or I'll take them out to dinner or do something. And I think that that's a good thing that we should do. If you're a boss, reward your employees. And, you know, that's another way to help people, to encourage them and to do good unto them. You know, here in the church, we kind of live by this philosophy. I mean, think about it. We do a Bible memory verse, and we literally reward the kids every single time in the midweek service that they get a verse. Then you get the entire chapter. There's another reward. And we just are constantly just doling out all kinds of rewards, prizes. We have all kinds of free things. And yet, our church also exercises discipline, doesn't it? So our church is not just here's a free car, but we also at the same time, I've seen churches do that, okay, it's weird. But then we're also not just only discipline or no discipline. We hate what? We have the balance. We have the discipline. We have the rewards. And I heard someone say this as an old boss, but I kind of like this philosophy because he was a lender. He was a banker, but he just said, I'm the best person to borrow money from, and I'm the worst to not pay back. And it's like, you know, I just want to have that same philosophy in the sense that it's like, I'll be your best friend, but I will not be a good enemy unto you. And the thing is, it's like, hey, you follow the rules, it's going to go well. You break the rules, it's going to be dealt with. You know what I mean? And I think that's just how we should approach life with our children. We should give them clear boundaries because that's how God is. It's like, hey, you get saved, heaven. That's pretty good reward. And you don't, hell, that's a pretty bad punishment. I mean, God's really extreme in how he deals with things. And you know what? God has some severe punishments. Have you ever read Deuteronomy? Like how God punishes people with madness. They eat their own children. You can get incurable diseases. Like God, if he wants to do something to you, he can do it. And he brings the hammer. I mean, Jesus Christ made a scourge of small cords and went to the temple and drove them all out of there. Okay, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, he also died on the cross for all of their sins. And he gives us the free gift of salvation. And not only that, he rewards us for the works that we do. And when it comes to our children, we want to make sure that we're encouraging them in, I think, all these areas. We don't want just one. We want to constantly read the Bible. And you know, this is not a full encompassing list. I'm sure there's other tips. But I think here's some pretty good basic ideas that we should give our kids some Bibles when we're in church. We should make them pay attention. We should encourage them to sing the songs. We should be training at home. We should be using the rod. We should be steadfast. And you know what? Sometimes we need to give them a reward. And you know, I really appreciate you guys for coming to the conference. You guys did a really good job. You can come get two pieces of candy since you were the last ones, all right? Get two pieces of candy and you can go sit down. You know, in this world, the generations have just seemed to be getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, it's important that we, in our own families, in our own areas, try to stop the bleeding, in a sense, and try to encourage and build up the next generation, invest in the next generation. And I think it's important that, you know, we have them in church, we suffer them, and I don't want to get rid of that. Even if we grew, even if we got bigger, I don't want to get to a point where we just start shifting the kids somewhere else because they become too inconvenient. And, you know, as a parent, you know, sometimes you have to suffer the little children too. And the reality is, though, you know, when you get to the finish line, you're going to get a great reward. out of, you know, those children. Of course, there's always exceptions, but I'm just saying in general, you know, God is going to reward us with the work and the labor that we have. And I love children, frankly speaking. I love having the kiddos in here. They really encourage me. And this is what I like about them. They have a lot more energy. Like, they want to sing the songs louder, and they're more excited. And sometimes I think that we need to get the attitude of a child a little bit. You know, it'd be nice. And here's what I like about children is they have so much more faith. They depend on their parents and other people for almost everything, and they don't even worry about it. They just know, like they're not sitting there, like, biting their nails, like, what, are we going to eat dinner tonight? Or are we going to, how are we going to pay bills? Or how are we going to do all these things? But, you know, we as God's children, sometimes we just get all these, like, nervous attitudes, like the children of the wilderness, where we're just so nervous, like, well, how's God going to get us through this one now? Or did he bring us out in the wilderness to die? And it's like, as many miracles as God has given us, and as much as God has delivered us out here, you know, we just need to trust God like a little child trusts his parents. And we need to learn from our children. You know, this is a children's conference, but you know what? Learn from their example in many ways. Learn from their faith, learn from their energy, learn from their excitement. And, you know, our church doesn't really cater to little children necessarily most of the time. Most of the time, it's, you know, we're preaching a lot of adult subjects. We're preaching really, really adult topics, deep doctrine, things that maybe they don't quite fully understand just yet. But I think it's important to have conferences like this every once in a while. Every once in a while, give them a little of attention. And, you know, you do that in your own home, in your own family. Make sure that you're giving them some time, giving them some attention as well. And that we're all in every area, not just church, in the restaurant, in our home, in our school, everywhere, that we're just going to suffer the little children. All right, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for this conference. Thank you so much for these children. Thank you so much for these families. Thank you for everyone that came here in attendance. I pray that you would just encourage us, that you would help us to have a childlike faith, that we could just trust in you. I pray that we wouldn't discourage the youth, but rather we would try to build them up, and we would try to encourage them to serve you. And I pray that you would help us to raise a godly generation to take on such a dark and scary world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to do our last song is I'm in the Lord's Army in our special handouts. If you kiddos want to stand up for the last song, we'll be marching, all right? We'll sing it twice through. I'm in the Lord's Army. On the verse.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never sue for the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's Army.
Yes, sir!
I'm in the Lord's Army.
Yes, sir!
I'm in the Lord's Army.
Yes, sir!
More time there on the first.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom on the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's Army.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the Lord's Army.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the Lord's Army.
Yes, sir.
God
bless you. You are dismissed.